Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
And we're going to dive into our scripture in just a few moments, but I'd like to give some shout-outs before we dive into things. And one of those is every Sunday is someone's first time attending Next Level Church. And so if you're a regular attender, would you help me welcome our first-time guests that are here today? I want to give a special shout out to those that serve in our military, serve our country. Would you help me welcome them today? And one final shout out. One thing that I love about Next Level Church is that we don't have members. We have what we call owners. Members have rights, but owners have responsibilities. And what that means is that when Next Level is your church, you look for how you can make this the best church that it can be. You don't wait for someone else. You don't wait for someone to ask you to do something. You just look around and say, hey, how can we all, if we all work together, this can be the best church that it possibly can be. And last week, we had an event called Pizza with the Pastor. And we do it once a month. It's for new people who join our church. And so we were at Pizza with the Pastor, and that lasts about an hour after the service. So it's a couple hours after everything has been wrapped up, and I go back to my car, and as I go to my car, one of our owners is in the front ditch, and she is gathering big piles of leaves, and she has these trash cans specifically for collecting leaves, and they are like overflowing, and so I go to her, and she's like, can you help me carry this to the trash can? And I was like, I really don't want to, but yes, I will. I will help you. Thank you for being an owner. But I was blown away. I said, hey, what made you do this? And she said, just in leaving the parking lot, I noticed that the ditch was overflowing. She said, it looks like something is broken. It's collecting water, and it's just collecting tons of leaves. And she said, we had a similar problem in our neighborhood, and so I collected leaves there. So I just decided to come after church and do something about it. And I love that. So I want to give her a shout-out. Would you help me? All right, today we are concluding our series, Scriptorting. And if this is your first week with us, you need to know that scriptorting is a made-up word. We've defined scriptorting as misquoting the Bible to say something it does not say, thus giving a non-biblical statement authority. And there are so many scriptortions out there. I think we could have continued this series on for a few more weeks, but we're going to wrap it up today. If you did have to miss one of the weeks of this series, I highly recommend you can always check out the podcast wherever podcasts are played. This sermon, it's on podcast form, so you can listen to it in the gym or as you're driving down the road. We also are on YouTube, Next Level Church 757. You can find us and watch the video of this service as well. But I highly recommend you stay connected, and if you had to miss a week, tune in and join one of those. Today's scriptorsion is potentially the most famous scriptorsion of them all. It is the one that I am convinced that everyone in here, at least almost everyone in here, has heard on multiple occasions, and I am betting that most of us have said it at some point in our lives. It is one that I see online. This is not an exaggeration. I see somebody saying this online at least once a week, every single week. I will see someone say a statement, something like this. Here's the scriptorsion. Only God can judge me. Only God can judge me. I mentioned this in week two. If you remember the first couple weeks, we did this whole thumb up, thumb down, is it in the Bible? And on week two, this was one of the ones, and I had you guess if you think it's in the Bible or not. And this is actually not in the Bible. It was made most famous by Tupac. He's a rapper, God rest his soul. Tupac's the one that made this. He wrote a whole song about it, and he really did help shape our culture. In fact, this phrase has become so popular that people actually get it tattooed on their bodies. Think about that just for a second. A tattoo is permanent. It's forever. And there's lots of phrases out there. But this one has resonated with people so much that literally it's one of the most popular tattoos out there. And I will give you some free advice. If you are going to get any tattoo on your body, check the spelling. Because one guy went viral after he posted his tattoo of this phrase. And he posted, only God will judge me. But what he missed is that judge is not spelled J-U-G-E, it's spelled J-U-D-G-E, and that's permanent. So I just want to throw this out there, that if you do get a misspelled tattoo, everyone will judge you, okay? That's free. So where does this come from, right? If this is a scriptorsion that lots of unchurched people believe, but lots of Christians believe it, where does it come from? Well, it actually comes from the Bible, and it's a misunderstanding of the Bible, but there is, when I see people quote it from the Bible, they typically use the King James Version of the Bible. And whenever I read King James, I feel like you have to do it in a special voice. And so the verse specifically says, judge not, lest ye be judged. I feel like King James just comes alive when you talk like a pirate, like you can add an R in there. Some of you grew up King James, you understand what I'm talking about. It says words like stinketh, it says hither, it changes. Every time it says donkey, it changes it into a curse word. Some of you grew up with the King James, you know what I'm talking about. King James just hits different when it's talking about this verse. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Now, when people say this phrase, this is what they often mean. When someone wants to justify their choices to you, they pull out this trump card that says, judge not, lest ye be judged. And it's this idea of that if you're ever going to talk about anything is sin, or you're going to talk about any of God's standards, or if someone wants to justify something in their life, they are quick to say, well, don't judge me. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's standards. All of us are on the same playing field. And it's used as like this mic drop. Like it's used as like, you can't say anything else. God says not to judge. And so that ends the conversation. And oftentimes when people use this, it's when they're trying to justify something in their life that doesn't align with Scripture. So they know that the Bible says something is sin. And they're like, well, don't judge me. We're all sinners. Or don't judge them. We're all sinners. It does not surprise me that those that are not a part of the Christian community, those that don't claim Christ, it does not surprise me that they love this phrase. It does not surprise me at all. It is a little bit surprising that those that are inside the church, those that would call themselves Christians, haven't done the research to know why this is a scriptorsion. And often I will see Christians who will say this phrase, and they say it online. And there's often times where I will copy it and just make a little note of it, because why not? So here are some of the ones that I've copied. I've taken the names off of it, but these are phrases from people online. We are all sinners, so judging anyone for a particular sin or what we consider a sin is not up to us. Not one of us is here to judge anyone. Love like Jesus loves. Now, on the surface, I agree with everything that's a part of that verse. But that statement was given after somebody celebrated something that the Bible calls sin, and in the comments, someone pointed out that, hey, as Christians, we shouldn't support that, and then this was the response. Well, who are you to judge? What do you mean we shouldn't support that? Just love like Jesus loves. Here's another one. Christ taught us to love everyone. Judgments are for our Father in heaven, not us. Now, Jesus did tell us to love everyone. But the idea that you have no standards, that you hold no one accountable, that you never have a hard conversation, that's not love. Love is not just that you agree with everyone, that you let everyone make whatever decisions they want to do. And if you're a parent, you know this. As a parent, you don't just let your kids do anything in the name of love. Oh, you want to touch that hot burner on the stove? You just do it. You do you, boo-boo. You want to burn your hand? I love you. You just do it. No, we have standards. We point out to them. We say, hey, oh, that's not right. Don't do this. And why do we tell our kids no? It's not because we don't love them. It's actually because we do. So this idea that we can never have hard conversations because Jesus said to love everyone, that's not found in the Bible. Here's another one. And this one is one that actually makes me chuckle. It says, you obviously are not a Christian because Jesus told us not to judge. Now, that's funny to me because that's actually a judgment. You're not a Christian because Jesus told us not to judge. So you're less of a Christian because you're judging. I'm more of a Christian because I'm not judging, which is a judgment. I found that way funnier than you did. The judge not command is understood by society at large to mean let people live and do as they please. That's what it's meant to mean. That in every circumstance, just everyone just does whatever they want to do, and let's not have any hard conversations, let's not have any difficult conversations, everyone just does whatever they feel is right. And when I see Christians use this phrase online, anytime I see a Christian say, judge not, or we're not to judge, or we can't judge, or if they say, only God can judge me, I always want to respond. There's this little voice that comes in my head. I often speak in movie quotes. And you ever seen the movie Princess Bride? Anyone ever seen that movie? Well, there's a line in that movie, and whenever I see this, this is the voice that comes up. You'll see the meme, it'll come on the screen. It says, you keep saying, only God can judge me. I do not think it means what you think it means. That's what goes through my head, because people use it as, well, this is the end of it. Mic drop. Like, there's no other conversation. And they say it with such confidence. And I'm like, I know what you mean. I know what you're trying to do. But that verse does not mean what you think it means. So let's look at the verse. Matthew 7, 1 through 2. This is Jesus talking. Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you." So that seems pretty simple. Judge not, right? There you have it. That's the end of the sermon. Let's go home. We get to beat the other churches to lunch. Let's just get there quickly. That's it. Jesus said it. It's done, right? Judge not. One of the things that I warn you against doing is, as a Christian, you should never cherry pick a verse to make it say what you want it to say. Scripture does not speak outside of other scriptures. And so if you want to understand a verse, here's something that I highly recommend. See what the Bible says about that verse. Because oftentimes it'll say the same thing in different ways all over the place. The Bible's not just one verse or one book. It's a whole book. It's a collection of books over thousands of years. And so when you start researching and you start looking at the Bible through the lens of the Bible, you can understand what verses mean a lot better. For example, if you just take this verse and just take the first line and it says, "Judge not," then you'll walk out and you'll say, "Okay, that's it. I should never make a judgment about anything." But is that really what Jesus meant? Because when you look at the entirety of Scripture, what you see is that the Bible actually tells us there are some things that we should judge. And I want to give you what these things are. If you're taking notes, which I recommend you do, here's some things you could write down. Here's some examples of when Christians should judge based off the Bible. Number one, Christians are called to judge themselves first. Now, if you just take that phrase, "judge not," and you say, "That's it, we're never to judge anything," then Jesus doesn't even make sense. Because after he tells us to judge not, he then tells us to judge ourselves. Look at Jesus' words in Matthew 7, 3 through 4. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye?" Jesus literally tells people that follow him, judge yourselves. Before you make a judgment of someone else, look at your own life and make a judgment. There's some things in my life that aren't honoring to God. I need to change those. I need to repent of those. I need to ask God to forgive me. I need to set up some accountability. There's some stuff in my life. Before I make a judgment on someone else, I need to look inside and look at myself. Christians are called to judge ourselves, not based off the world standards, but based off the standards of Scripture. And Jesus says, before you make a judgment, examine yourself first. When you examine yourself first, what happens is you'll end up having empathy for other people. When you judge yourself first and you look at your own life and you say, "Okay, I've fallen," before you make any judgments, you start to say, I may not understand why they did, but I can understand falling short of God's standards because I've done it myself. And it makes you lose the judgmental spirit. It makes you lose this criticism. It makes you lose this coming at people in pride. When you examine yourself first, it gives you the empathy to say, "Okay, I don't understand the whole situation, but I can understand what it means to fall from God's standards." And here's the deal. If you're here today and you're just like, "You know what? I don't think I sin like other people. I am better than all the other people." Well, here's something I would challenge you to do, because it's so important that you examine yourself. Do what the Scripture says. And the Scriptures gives us it's multiple times throughout the Scriptures, but I want to show you one verse in particular where, if you don't know what sins in your life, if you don't know how you've fallen short of the standards, go to God and ask him. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 139, 23 through 24. "God, examine me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any bad thing in me. Lead me on the road to everlasting life." So before you judge anyone else, go to God and say, "Okay, God, what blind spots do I have? I'm feeling judgmental towards someone else. I'm feeling like I want to criticize someone else. But God, what's going on with me? Would you reveal to me my blind spots? Would you show me if there's any bad thing within me?" So examples of when Christians should judge. Number one is Christians are called to judge themselves first. Number two, Christians are called to judge false teachers. Now, this whole sermon, I highly recommend before you make any judgments, you wait till we get to the end. But especially this section, please listen to the entirety before you just get on Twitter and start blasting every pastor you disagree with. Christians are called to judge false teachers. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 7, 15 through 16. "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. And so Jesus gives us this warning. Not everybody that comes in the name of God is a prophet. Not everyone that comes in the name of God has your best interests in mind. Some people will come in the name of God and they don't have the best intentions. And how should you know that? You got to make a judgment. And how do you make a judgment? Look at the fruit of their life. Are they living what they're preaching? Are they preaching and asking you to sacrifice, but then they're not sacrificing themselves? Are they asking you to die to themselves, but then on themselves, they're not willing to do that? You can make a judgment about their fruit. But this verse is not meant for us then to go around and criticize every pastor that we disagree with. And I see so often online, Christians use this verse to attack every pastor that says something that they don't agree with or has a different interpretation. And that's not what this was meant. It wasn't meant to attack other pastors. It was meant for you to use as a guide. Be careful what you listen to. And before you just accept a word from a pastor, you need to say, does that back up by scripture? And does their life back that up? Don't just listen to everything that's out there. Not every preacher that's on TV is worth listening to. Not every book that you read that comes in the name of Jesus is worth listening to. We've got to make some judgments. We've got to be careful with what we put before our eyes and what we put before our ears. And so this isn't meant for you to go out and criticize other people. It's meant for you to be careful yourself. So number two, Christians are called to judge false teachers. And number three, Christians are called to judge other Christians. Now this one's not very popular, and it's really difficult to live out. And it may even come as a shock to most of us here. Because a lot of us have bought into this. Well, we're not called to judge. We should never judge. But actually, the Bible does paint a picture that we are to make judgments. We are to have opinions and have conversations with Christians. I want to give you a little bit of context before I show you this next verse. Because this context is incredibly important for you to understand the verse. Paul actually addresses judgment and who we're supposed to judge. And the Apostle Paul, he's a primetime player in the scripture, and he wrote a few letters to the Christians living in Corinth. And the Christians in Corinth were jacked up. They had all sorts of issues. So he had to keep writing them letters. One of the issues in the church in Corinth is that one of the members, a young man, was having intimate relationships with his mom. And Paul says, the pagans don't even do what you're doing. The people who don't go to church, they call what you're doing wrong. You are a Christian and you're breaking this one. He literally calls him out. And then look at what he says about judgment. This is incredibly important for us. 1 Corinthians 5:12 through 13. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are we not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. So here's something that we can take away as Christians. As Christians, we are to stop judging those that don't call themselves Christians. So stop judging businesses that don't claim to be Christian businesses because they don't follow the Christian standards of the Bible. It shouldn't surprise you. They're not Christians. So don't judge them. If you don't want to shop out there, that's fine. You don't have to shop out there. But this righteous indignation of like, how dare they do that? That's prideful, and that's not what Paul says we're to do. What we are to do, though, it's judge those inside the church. And this is where it gets really messy and sticky. And can I just tell you that this is like one of my least favorite parts about being a part of a church. But there are times when we as a church have to hold people accountable. And when we have small group leaders, whether they're working with kids or with students or with adults, and they don't align with what the scriptures teach, we have to have conversations. And we don't have conversations in judgment, whereas we don't come at them with pride or shame or say, how dare you? We say, hey, were we not clear with the standards of Scripture? Did we not communicate correctly? Because this is what the standard we have, and you're not living that out. So let's have a conversation about it. And our ultimate goal is to win them back over or to encourage them or to point out something. It's never meant to be in a prideful way, but can I just tell you, that's a hard conversation to have. It's really difficult to go to someone you love who's working with our students or kids and say, hey, you know what, we do love you, but you've agreed to these standards, but what you're living out is not following these standards. That's not easy. But you need to view it as the way a coach would coach a team. A good coach doesn't just let us do whatever we want to do. A good coach doesn't say, hey, you spent all summer and you didn't exercise. Good for you. No, a coach says, what are you doing? Get out there and do some sit-ups. Run a mile. A good coach pushes us to be better. And as Christians, that's the way that we should view this. We don't judge one another out of pride. We don't judge one another because we feel like we're better than one another. But we do hold each other to the standards that we've all agreed upon. And that's not always easy. So, if the Bible supports that there are some times when we could offer judgment, what did Jesus mean? Let's look at Jesus' exact words. Jesus said, do not judge, or you too will be judged. The New Testament was not written in English. It was written in Greek. And the word that Jesus used for judge is the Greek word krino. Krino is a fun word to say. Would you humor me and just say it on the count of three? One, two, three. Krino. Here's what krino means. To put on trial, condemn, decree, or punish. To put on trial, declare, decree, or punish. So what Jesus is saying is that before you make a judgment, don't put someone on the stand and start crucifying them and saying you know why they did what they did. Don't make that kind of judgment. Krino, to put on trial, it's this idea of someone's wronged you and then you come up with all the evidence even though you don't know the evidence. They cut me off in traffic because they're an evil, horrible person. Maybe, or maybe their wife is pregnant and they're driving as fast as they can to get her to the hospital. You don't know. It's still wrong that they cut you off, but maybe it's not because they're evil and they hate you. When someone doesn't return a text, they don't like me. Maybe, or maybe they're just busy and they're hung up with something. You don't know why they didn't text you back. But our brains, anytime we don't have all the information, our brains seek to fill in the gap. And so often when we fill in the gap, it's wrong. And that is the judgment that Jesus is talking about. Stop filling in the gap. You don't know why that person is homeless. So don't say they're homeless because they're probably addicted to drugs. You have no idea. You can ask them, you can get to know them, you can figure it out. But you coming up with a why, you coming up with a reason that a person is in their situation, that's the judgment that Jesus would say, stop doing that. Knock it off. When Jesus told them to not judge, what he is telling them is to not condemn. Why? Because the stones they throw at others will ricochet back at them. If you look at Jesus' exact words, this is what he's saying. He's not saying don't judge at all. He's saying be careful. Judge yourself first. Why? Look at his words in Matthew 7, 1 through 2. Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Be careful judging others because it's like a boomerang. When you come at someone and you say, they did this and I know why they did it, be careful because you wouldn't like it when other people judged you that way. Before you come to a conclusion, before you tell someone why, you need to ask questions. It's kind of like this. When my kids were really little and they would accidentally do something, one of them would bump into the other one. They would always come to the conclusion that it was done on purpose. You bumped into me on purpose. Well, maybe, but maybe not. You don't know. Let's ask a question before we say that someone did it on purpose. I love what Dr. James B. Richards says. He says, a judgment is when we attach a why to someone's actions. That's what a judgment is. It's when we attach a why. You don't know the why. You don't know why someone did what they did. And when you assume why someone does what they do, it causes you to have a misjudgment. I love what Brennan Manning says. He says, none of us have ever seen a motive. Therefore, we don't know, and we can't do anything more than suspect what inspires the action of another. For this good and valid reason, we're told not to judge. You've never seen a motive. So you can't just guess or assume you know someone's motive, why they did something. Maybe they did it because they're evil pawn scum, or maybe it was an accident. Before you judge, ask some questions. Before you judge, give the benefit of the doubt. Before you judge, have a conversation. Hey, this hurt me, but I want to know what your thinking was. And oftentimes what you'll find out is the reason you got hurt wasn't intentional. The other person didn't mean to hurt you. You've come to the conclusion on your own. The idea that Christians are not to judge, it's not supported in Scripture. In fact, I gave you some reasons and ways that we are to judge. But I now want to give you some guidelines, because before you make a judgment, Scripture is very clear that you are not to judge like everyone else. And so here are some guidelines before you ever make a judgment against anyone that you should walk yourself through. Here are some biblical guidelines to making a judgment. Number one, remember the goal of the judgment is to restore a fellow Christian, not condemn them. The goal of a judgment, where we do ourselves a disservice, is when we come at someone and we're trying to hold court and hope that they get punished for it. And when we judge someone like that, it's the wrong spirit. Anytime we're making a judgment, the ultimate goal is to win them back. It's to say, hey, it's hard for me to point this out to you, but I'm pointing this out to you because I love you and I want what's best for you. The goal is to restore them. Look at what Paul says in Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person. Would you guys just read that last word out loud on the count of three? One, two, three.
Gently.
When we are making judgments, having hard conversations, it's not to be with anger or pride or rising up or calling people out. It is to be done in gentleness. This is a horrible example, but think about it this way. If you are eating lunch with someone and you have a friend and they have like some salad in their teeth, it's awkward to bring up to them. But if you really care about them, you're going to say, hey, this is kind of awkward, but you got something in your teeth. You should get that out. You doing that is actually showing them love. I care enough about you to point out something that's a little bit embarrassing so that you don't go embarrass yourself even more. That's not being judgmental. That's actually being loving. So when we go to people, it's not with, you're the worst person ever. Why do you have salad in your teeth, you lazy bum? It's like, hey, no, it's kind of awkward. You got something in your teeth. And because I love you and care about you, I want to bring that up. It should be brought up with gentleness. Number two, biblical guidelines to making a judgment. Examine yourself before making a judgment. One of the reasons that we are such judgmental people is we forget that we have sinned, especially when someone sins in a way that's different than us. And so when someone sins, our brain starts to say, how could they do that? I would never do that to them. And we put them on trial and we start to condemn them and we can't believe they've ever done that. But what we're supposed to do, according to Jesus' teachings, we're supposed to examine ourselves first. And when you examine yourself first, you may say, yeah, I've never sinned like them, but I have fallen short of God's standards. And so now I can have empathy before I approach them. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians 6:1-5. We read the first part of it just a second ago. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. So what does Paul say? If you don't examine yourself first, you will become prideful in comparing yourself to someone else. And when you have a hard conversation, it will be full of judgment. Why aren't you a better Christian like me? Why don't you follow the rules like me? And no one responds to that. So before we have a hard conversation, we examine ourselves first. And then, in gentleness, we can talk to them. Biblical guidelines for making a judgment. Number three, a judgment should be done in humility. A judgment should be done in humility. So often, we make the wrong judgments because we do it out of pride. And it comes from a place where we think, well, I'm better than them. I would never sin like that. I would never make that mistake. So now let me tell them how they should live their lives. But anytime a judgment is made with pride, Jesus would say, you're in the wrong spot. You're judging wrong. Because judging, the only reason we should have a hard conversation is because we love them and we care about them, and it should come from a place of humility. Look at what Paul says in Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Be willing to associate with people in low position. Be willing to associate with people that sin differently than you do. Be willing to associate with people that may have different standards or maybe new to the faith or haven't come to the same conclusions. Be willing. You don't have to cut them off. You don't have to yell at them or scream at them. Be willing. If they're a Christian, be willing. But at the same time, be willing to have a hard conversation. But the hard conversation should come in humility. Don't be conceited. And then just remember, number one, the goal of judgment is to restore a Christian, not condemn them. The verse that we read earlier about Paul, where he called out the guy who was having an inappropriate relationship with his mom, you know what's so cool about 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians tells us that that guy got won over and he came back. And Paul tells the church, hey, he's back. Stop making him feel bad. Stop rubbing it in his face. Stop shaming him. He's back. Let's welcome him back as a family member. It worked. The hard conversation worked. He repented and he came back. Compassionate judgment seeks to stay faithful to the Bible and also love the person who struggles. It strives to identify the speck in someone else's eye while simultaneously trying to rip the log out of my own. Can you just imagine how different our conversations would be if we just lived by this? Compassionate judgment. As a Christian, I can't rewrite the Bible. I can't say because the Bible makes me feel uncomfortable or because the Bible calls something sin, I just need to ignore it. That's not our place to rewrite Scripture. It's not. But it's also not our place to stand in condemnation and make everyone feel bad for sinning differently than we do. We hold on to Scripture and we love people. It's not making a choice between loving or the Scripture. It's like, no, the Bible says this is wrong, and if you don't agree with me, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to care about you. If you don't change your opinion, I'm not going to change my opinion about you. I don't only love you because you're a Christian or because you follow the rules like I do. I love you because you're made in the image of God. But because I love you, I got to have a hard conversation. And I expect you to have the hard conversation. Why? Because we love each other and we want what's best for each other, not because we're prideful or judgmental, but because we're humble and we know, hey, this might be a blind spot. If I don't point this out, that person may go to their next meeting with a big piece of salad in their tooth. If I don't point this out, if I don't have this hard conversation, they may not know that what they're doing is wrong. So let's have a conversation. And I hate every time we as a church have had to do that. I hate it. It's uncomfortable. I don't like it. But it's always done in humility, and it's always done with the hope of restoring and saying, hey, listen, this is tough, but this is what the Bible says, and we got to hold to this standard. One of the most misquoted verses in the Bible is Jesus saying, judge not. But Jesus isn't telling us not to judge. He's telling us how to judge. First, take the log out of your own eye. And then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So Jesus never says not to judge. He says don't judge hypocritically. Don't tell people to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. Don't have the hard conversation with someone else before you've had the hard conversation with yourself. So may we be a people that honors the Scriptures. May we not try to rewrite them because they're uncomfortable or because Scripture, the culture doesn't accept them. May we know that God put it in there for a reason, and it's our goal to follow what He says. But may we also know that the Scriptures were given to us not to make us prideful and not to beat other people over the head with. The Scriptures were given to us for us to form right relationship with Jesus. So may we be a people who examines ourselves right through the lens of Scripture so that we can love other people well. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be a part of your life, I'd love to give you an opportunity to do that. There's no magic to it. It's just a conversation with Him. And I want to walk you through those steps. If you're here today and you would say, hey, I've never met Jesus and I've never asked Him to be part of my life, I want to lead you through this prayer. I just want to ask that everyone just bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're here and you've never done this before, I just want to ask you to quietly repeat this prayer in your heart after me. God, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I thank you for your grace. God, I thank you that you died for my sins. I thank you that you forgive me of my sins. And God, I thank you that you don't want to leave me here, but you want to lead me to live like you. So God, I give you my heart. I give you my soul, and I ask that you would help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.